Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining me. I'm going to be discussing an overview of System Center 2012 R2 today. So what we're really trying to look at is some of the key capabilities here. And with this release of System Center 2012, it's now a single product. So this has changed kind of in the past where you would actually buy Virtual Machine Manager or just Configuration Manager or just Operations Manager. What we're trying to do is make it kind of a similar model to Windows Server. You buy Windows Server as a single product, you know, you get Active Directory, Hyper-V, file services. We kind of want to start thinking about System Center the same way. And so we're going to be discussing System Center rather than by product, by capability. If you now get System Center, you're going to get all of these tools. This includes self-service with things such as Service Manager and App Controller, automation with Orchestrator. And so a lot of customers are now really trying to adopt these new private cloud technologies as they're really seeing that, hey, with my license, I'm getting everything anyway. Time to kind of discover these new capabilities. Now, one thing that I'm going to cover in the beginning is some of the design goals. I'm going to kind of talk you through some of the planning process that we went through with the engineering teams to try to figure out what people were really looking for. So you're kind of going to get a bit of a behind-the-scenes look at how we build this as well. I have 5 demos, so I am going to go somewhat fast as well to try to take you through all of this. This is a level 200 course, so we're not going to go particularly deep in the technology, but we are going to go very broad, making sure that we cover the System Center components here. So let's start by talking about the design goals. So as we kind of look at the emerging trends in the industry, we really wanted to make sure that System Center could support these 4 key areas. Cloud computing, meaning that we can take advantage of our public cloud, private cloud, work with hosters. You know, kind of this theme of this data center without boundaries. We're hearing about consumerization of IT, people wanting to bring their own devices, but more importantly, making sure that they can access the data that they need and making sure it's secure. Also making sure that the IT department can take advantage of that, being able to remotely wipe devices if they get stolen. We're seeing new patterns come up from social engagement. Even within enterprises, there's now these social media groups within enterprises, such as Yammer, Twitter, which is getting more popular. And so we want to be able to consume that data and make real-time reactions based on it. And the data itself we're seeing is exploding. We're seeing about double the amount of data every single year on Earth, with more people connected to the internet, more people with smartphones, taking photos, uploading videos, seeing a massive explosion of data. So we want to think about easier ways to manage this as well. Now, what we're trying to do here, build this vision of the cloud OS, this data center without boundaries, but more importantly, provide the common set of tools across it. For developers with Visual Studio, management with System Center, data with SQL, identity with Active Directory, and virtualization with Hyper-V. And so regardless of where you're running this application, on a public cloud, a private cloud, a hosted cloud, we want to make sure that you can use the same set of tools. Because your end user, they don't really care where this application is running. They just need access to this service. And so we want to make it easy for everyone involved throughout that process to have the same kind of philosophy. We don't really care where the application runs, but we still need to be able to secure it, monitor it, and make sure that it's functioning just like it was running in my own data center. Now, the history of why Microsoft kind of come to where we are is we have a lot of experience running these large cloud services. In fact, Microsoft's been running cloud services for almost 20 years. Very first cloud service we released was back in 1994 with our first Windows Webmail. If you think about what email is, it's kind of like a cloud service. You know, you sign on from somewhere, you have access to your email, you don't really care where it's hosted, where it's stored, so long as you can just always access that service. And so over the last 2 decades, we've built up Outlook.com that has over 300 million users, Xbox Live with over 40 million users. So Microsoft really is managing these large-scale cloud applications. And when we first start building them, we use a lot of custom code. You know, we're doing things in the industry that people just haven't really done before. But what we've tried to do is take these best practices, this training, this learning, and now bring that back into the product, into Windows Server, and in System Center 2012. So the main goals that we had as part of this release, make sure that high-performance storage worked, but more importantly, make it easier to manage. Trying to avoid people getting locked into a particular vendor. We want to make it easier, virtualize the storage, and allow commodity storage to be used easily. We want to secure the environment to have multiple tenants. And this doesn't mean that you have to be a hoster. This means any business unit, they could be a tenant. Any individual that's using resources, a developer, they could be a tenant. So when we talk about tenants and hosters, you don't have to think of it as a traditional way like GoDaddy hosting or Rackspace hosting. Think of it as you running a data center, and you have individual users that are trying to take those resources. But with those individual users, we want to make sure things are secure, isolated, so they're not impacting each other. We want to simplify our networking as well, virtualize that by introducing software-defined networking. We want to inject automation wherever we can. And you're going to see this as a big recurring theme now, encouraging people to think about repetitive tasks that they do. Start building automation around that to free up their time to work on new projects. And finally, easier application management. Better monitoring, insight, so that we can dynamically and automatically change how our applications are running. Now, a brief history of System Center. System Center itself is almost 20 years old as well. Started back in 1994 with Configuration Manager, or back then it was called our System Management Server, I think, something like that. Complicated name. Then we started moving towards the data center by introducing monitoring with Operations Manager, backup with Data Protection Manager, antivirus with Endpoint Protection. Then with the acquisition of SoftGrid, which was a virtualization technology purchased by Microsoft that ultimately turned into Hyper-V, we introduced Virtual Machine Manager, allowing us to kind of scale up our hypervisors. We then added support for different types of hypervisors, automation, integration, including VMware, Citrix, other third-party management solutions. And then finally, we started to move towards the cloud, by including things such as App Controller, allowing you to deploy out to the cloud, and Advisor. So this is kind of the full stack, but just to make sure that everybody's kind of on the same page throughout the rest of the presentation, I'm going to quickly go through each of these individual components. So first of all, Virtual Machine Manager. This is probably going to be the one that most of our infrastructure admins are using. This gives you the ability to provision your infrastructure, your storage, your network, your compute resources. It allows you to manage Citrix, VMware infrastructure, and it gives you the ability to deploy your VMs, your services, your applications. So we kind of think of this as our primary infrastructure provisioning tool and infrastructure management tool. Next, we have Operations Manager, which we use for our monitoring. We could get real-time alerts. As soon as a problem happens, we see an alert. And then we can act upon that alert to try to make intelligent decisions throughout our data center. We have Orchestrator, which is new with System Center 2012. It came as part of an acquisition about 2 years ago of a company called Opalis. And this basically allows us to create what we call workflows, which are kind of look like Visio diagrams showing an action that connects to something that connects to something else. And we'll go through a few demos of those later to kind of help you really understand how you can use those. App Controller is a self-service portal that allows us to do infrastructure requests. So App Controller is actually one of three self-service portals we have in this release. We also have the Service Manager service portal, and we just introduced a new component called Windows Azure Pack. The way you want to think of App Controller is this is the self-service portal for your infrastructure. It has a dependency on a Virtual Machine Manager. You cannot have App Controller without VMM. And basically, it's a website that gives a limited scope of what actions people can do, allowing them to deploy virtual machines, services across all different clouds. Service Manager is our IT service management utility, kind of like the help desk tool. It uses the standard IT infrastructure library, kind of standard methodology. So you have things like work items, incidents, release management, change management, so kind of those standard processes. And it also serves as the second self-service portal, which is the Service Manager portal. Now, kind of the difference between App Controller and this one is this service management portal can do anything. It's fully customizable. It can do infrastructure requests. It could do self-service requests. It could do things such as onboarding new users. So it's really, basically it's a form-based self-service portal. You get to define the different inputs in the form, and your end users can submit requests to you. The help desk sees it, you get to process it, approve it, reject it, whatever you want to do. Data Protection Manager, we use to go and back up and secure our infrastructure. So it backs up our hosts, our disks, our virtual machines, our applications running within the virtual machines, and then gives you the ability to recover them as well. And finally, Configuration Manager and Endpoint Protection. These are generally used more for client deployment, client management, but you could go do the same things with servers as well. Basically, Configuration Manager ensures that any computer or mobile device or server or laptop in your infrastructure is secure. It has the correct software, it has the correct versions, the correct settings. So it's kind of like a control system to make sure that all of your employees are using the correct information and making sure that it's secure. Endpoint Protection is a component of Configuration Manager that does antivirus, anti-malware. So it kind of scans your environment, makes sure everything stays healthy. So that's kind of the quick run through of the different components we have here. And the way we kind of see these being put together is we like to talk about really two key users in the enterprise. We have our customers, our end users. This could be a developer. This could be an admin, someone in human resources. This is basically somebody that's going to have a request of the IT department. And on the other side, we have our service administrators, our IT guys, our infrastructure specialists, you guys in the room. And so what we're trying to do with System Center 2012 is create our model of a private cloud. And so with private cloud, there's really a couple of key concepts that are used in the industry. Number one is having pooled resources, meaning that you collect all of your storage, your network, your compute power, and you can take it as you need it. So you're no longer bound by having things running in specific racks or specific data centers. If the resource is available, we want you to be able to use it. We also have self-service, allowing our end users to be more sufficient, make requests themselves. We have automation, freeing up time by automating these repetitive activities. And so these are kind of the key concepts that we're going to look at here. So kind of the way that we view this end-to-end workflow in the data center is by basically offering a catalog of different actions that our end users can use, a self-service catalog. And you can kind of think of this as like going to a restaurant and opening a menu. You have 10 choices. This is kind of what we want to present to our end users. And the 10 choices could be, I need a new virtual machine. I need to go deploy my new app in a virtual machine. We have a new user in the environment. I want them to be onboarded in Active Directory. It can be anything. So think of kind of these tasks that you regularly get where it's a series of steps. This is the type of thing that we want people to start thinking about with automation, self-service. So we're going to present a list of choices to our end users. They say, I want option one. I need a new virtual machine. So we understand what that means to us. It means they need a new VM. Based on their user type, it has a particular size, connected to certain networks, running in certain data centers. The end user doesn't need to know that, but we kind of understand where that should belong. And since we have this standardized set of processes, we could go use Orchestrator, PowerShell, some automation system to go and actually deliver what they need. Provision it out to any of our clouds. On-premise, Windows Azure, third party. Now, once it's set up, we kind of need to wrap up the full circle and not just put it out there and forget about it. We need to make sure that we have monitoring as well, making sure that it doesn't just stay available, but also that it performs well. And so you're going to see kind of a big shift in our monitoring from being about just availability to being about performance, not just whether it's running, but how well it's running. And so this is kind of how we piece together all these different products. We have our self-service portals, our automation engines, our deployment solutions, and our monitoring solutions. And so this is how we encourage, you know, or want all of our customers to start thinking about how these pieces can fit together. Because again, with System Center 2012, you're going to get all of these products with that license. You no longer have to pick and choose. So what we break it down to is these five main capabilities: provisioning our infrastructure, monitoring the infrastructure, automation and self-service, application management, and IT service management. So let's take a look at our infrastructure provisioning. So with infrastructure provisioning, we're primarily going to be talking about using Virtual Machine Manager. Virtual Machine Manager, again, gives us the ability to deploy across our fabric, deploy across our infrastructure. And the four main goals that we had with this release were making sure that we can manage different environments at scale, our virtualized environments. That includes, you know, Linux, that includes, VMs running Linux, and then, of course, different types of hypervisors. We wanted to simplify the infrastructure management. So thinking about doing virtualized storage, virtualized networking. So not just virtualizing our machines, but now virtualizing the supporting infrastructure. So you no longer have to think about, hey, this LUN is EMC, I need this tool to use it. Well, this storage array is Dell, I need to use this tool. What we're trying to do is add virtualized layers on top. We have APIs that can go speak to Dell, that we speak to EMC. All you need to do is tell System Center, I need a new LUN this big. And we're trying to take care of all the hard work, all the kind of customization pieces as well. Next thing, we want to be able to support these multi-tenant infrastructures. So being able to do things such as network virtualization, providing an entire IP address range to an individual user. And then we wanted to make it easy for people to go and provision these resources. And so this is where we use things like our self-service portals. So as we look at scale and improving that, here's the release numbers that we have with Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2. Support many of the highest numbers in the industry. In fact, I don't believe that VMware actually beats us in any of these. I think they're tied in several. But we have the largest clusters, most VMs on a cluster. And so we really don't find any customers that actually get past the scale needs. This is actually good enough for pretty much everyone we speak to. And if you actually have an application or a workload or a VM that actually won't meet these needs, please come speak to me afterwards, because these are really interesting user cases for us to take back to engineering as we're continuing to kind of increase our scale, increase our compatibility. So next main thing we worked on is easier management and better open source support. So with our easier virtualized management, first thing we wanted to do with Hyper-V was make it easier to upgrade to the latest release. So we actually now support live migration from Windows Server 2012 up to Windows Server 2012 R2. So you can actually live migrate to our newest version. We give you the ability to snapshot virtual machines while they are running. So if you're doing troubleshooting, you have a live production system with a problem, take a snapshot of it, keep it up and running, but then you can go and troubleshoot it on an independent system without causing downtime or without impacting your end users. We have integration now with our file systems. So storage spaces, one of the most popular features in Windows Server 2012. Virtual Machine Manager can now access them, it can create spaces, it can manage the spaces. We have bare metal cluster provisioning. So you can literally plug in a power cable, plug in internet cables to a brand new server. We speak to the baseboard management controller, and we can go add our operating system on it. From there, we could do a second step and deploy it into a Hyper-V cluster, or a scale-out file server, or a clustered library server. I'm actually going to demo a bare metal deployment a little later as well. We make it easier to connect to our fiber channel SANs as well. We added support for virtual machines to connect to fiber channel storage with a virtualized fiber channel HBA. And then we worked a lot with our Linux support. So the System Center Windows Server engineering team, they built an entire team purely dedicated to Linux support and integration. So we now have code that we check directly into the Linux kernel that includes things such as the Hyper-V integration components. So what this means is, with every future Linux distribution that comes out that's using the shared open source kernel, Hyper-V is going to really work well with that. You're going to be able to start the VMs, stop them, back them up, live migrate them, use dynamic memory with these Linux VMs. So we're really trying to make Linux operating systems a first-class citizen with Hyper-V. There we go. So with our multi-tenant cloud infrastructure, being able to have more people running on a single system. So first of all, what we wanted to do was help get System Center easier to get up and running. So within Virtual Machine Manager, there's a concept called a service template, which is a collection of virtual machines that forms a service or an application. And I'm going to demo that a little later as well. But what we've done in the box with System Center 2012 R2 is we've included templates for all the other System Center components. I will be honest with you, setting up System Center isn't the easiest thing in the world, but we're trying to make it easier. So once you get Virtual Machine Manager up and running, you can actually use these predefined templates to go and build the other System Center components through using Orchestrator and through using Virtual Machine Manager. We have these templates preloaded. You say, I want to use Operations Manager. You get to pick how many tiers, the different topology, provide it with unique server names, add it to your Active Directory domain, usernames, passwords, click deploy, and we will then actually go and build up the rest of your System Center infrastructure for you. So we're trying to simplify the deployment across the board here. As we scale up, we're actually trying to increase support for all of our services. So more virtual machines, more hosts, more monitoring. So you're going to see all of the different System Center components, much larger scale numbers as well. Now with service management automation, this is with Windows Azure Pack. So I mentioned Windows Azure Pack as kind of this third self-service portal. Windows Azure Pack is brand new with Windows Server 2012 R2. Windows Azure Pack allows you to run Azure services on your own hosted cloud. So if you've used Azure and you kind of like the nice user interface, how easy it is to deploy virtual machines or websites, you can now do that on your own data center. So this actually came as a request from the United States, one of our big government agencies. They said, we like Windows Azure, but we can't have any type of connection to the internet for security reasons. So we built them Windows Azure for their own data center, and now we're productizing that. So if you want to have these Azure-type services that you run on your own private cloud, you can now do this as part of the new release of System Center. We also wanted to provide better insight into how our users are actually understanding the data. So we have granular resource metering for every virtual machine, every host, and it's always turned on. And so what this means is if there's a problem with a service or an application, one of your VMs, you can immediately look at the historical data. You don't need to suddenly turn on Perfmon, try to repro the problem, turn it off, and then try to actually figure out what it is. We're constantly tracking all of this so that when you do actually have a problem, you can more easily figure out what caused it. Now, we made a lot of improvements with our network virtualization as well. So network virtualization, basically what it means is a simpler way to manage all of your networks. And this becomes certainly more important when you have multiple data centers, multiple subnets, multiple IP address ranges. So basically the way that we Virtual Machine Manager does this network virtualization is when you set it up, you actually kind of define what your current networks are. You create what we call a logical network. And so you say, I want to deploy a new logical network, let's say my network, and then you get to specify what the IP address ranges are, what IP addresses are currently being used, what cannot be used, what your default gateway is, DNS server. So you basically kind of define what my network is going to look like. From that point onwards, you get to manage your infrastructure by just using my network. So you say, I want to go deploy a new VM. It's going to be deployed in my network. Now, what Virtual Machine Manager will do is actually go into my network, figure out the correct IP addresses, the correct data center, find a free IP address from DHCP, assign it to that. And so we're trying to just simplify the management. You no longer really have to think of managing at the individual IP address range. You can think about managing at this logical range. Think of it managing at the network range. Now, the other big enhancement that we made in the R2 release was really trying to improve network virtualization for enterprises. So in the past, if you created a virtualized network, had a bunch of VMs, it was often tough to actually connect those VMs back to corporate resources. And so what we've done is we've released a NVGRE gateway, Network Virtualization Generic Resource Encapsulation Gateway, that basically works as a mapping or a translation system between this isolated private network and your corporate network. So let's say, for example, you have lots of developers. They need to set their own DHCP servers up. They need to set their own Active Directory up. They need to spin up lots of VMs and create lots of IP addresses. Well, you kind of want them to do that in an isolated world. You don't want them really impacting your real-world production, getting false DHCP spoofs, things like that. So you're going to go create them their own virtualized network. And this is actually what Microsoft does for all of its internal employees. We each get these private networks where we can just go and play and not worry about impacting anything else. But oftentimes, you're going to need to still access the corporate network, do a file copy, download something, authenticate something. And so we can now do this through this gateway. So basically, GRE is a kind of an internet protocol, generic resource encapsulation, that goes and adds tags to the actual IP addresses. So you have an IP address, and it comes with a tag on it. What this gateway does is it basically adds these tags when things go out, removes them when they go back in, so it can figure out which exact location things should go to and from. Now, there are third-party NVGRE gateways available on the market, which are some physical devices, some are virtual devices. But we're now providing one in box with System Center Virtual Machine Manager. So you can just say, I want my own NVGRE gateway, click deploy, and we'll create a virtual machine for you that contains this gateway capability, and we'll do all of these mappings from your internal to external networks. Now, we also wanted to go and extend management out to the cloud with Windows Azure. So we took a look at different things that we can do here. First of all, migrating our VMs, making it easy to move a virtual machine from our cloud, or sorry, from your private cloud on-premise up to Windows Azure. So when you create a virtual machine and store it as a template in a library, you could go and use that same template, whether it's your own private cloud, whether you want to put it in Windows Azure, or whether you want to go put it with a third-party hosted cloud. So this gives you the ability to create just one set of VMs, run it anywhere you want. We do that with App Controller. Now, we also want to be able to manage those VMs when they're running there. And so we can do that again with App Controller, start our VMs, stop them, reset them. We could do that with Orchestrator as well, our automation engine. When we talk about migrating migrate them back, again, we could do that with App Controller. So you say, hey, I want to pause this VM, I want to save the state, bring it back from my cloud back to on-premise. We give you that ability. Now, one thing that's important to note, there is no live migration from on-premise to the cloud and back. Popular request, something that we are looking at, but it will actually have to be offline if you take it from your on-premise to cloud or cloud to back. There's no kind of live between these different clouds. So let's actually go over to our first demo and take a look at a bare metal deployment in action. All right, so what I'm looking at here is a System Center Virtual Machine Manager. And I have a bare metal server. And basically what this means is I've just got a brand new one. It has no operating system installed in it. I already have my power plugged in, and I have my internet plugged in. Now, brand new servers, they come with what's called a baseboard management controller, or BMC. And you could kind of think of this as almost like a mini operating system provided by the OEM, by Dell or HP. And this BMC allows us to kind of do some initial configuration, some initial setup. Now, the BMC will also do things such as monitoring the hardware, send alerts. And so what we're really trying to do with this BMC is use that to get our installation started, get everything up and running. So what we're going to do here is we're going to say, I want to go and add a brand new resource, a new Hyper-V host. And it's going to be a physical computer that we're going to make into Hyper-V. It specifies what run-as account do you want to use. And then it says what communication protocol do you want to use. So we could communicate with IPMI, SMASH, custom protocols. In this case, I have my Contoso protocol. So next thing it's going to do is it say, I want to go and discover this brand new server. Now, when you go plug in this server to your corporate network, it will actually obtain an IP address from DHCP. So it does have a specific way that we can contact it through that IP address. And so I'm going to go and actually select a range of IP addresses here. And go scan and see what I can find. So I have about, 15-20 servers in here. And we're going to go and select the first one. This is the one that I'm going to now provision as my Hyper-V host. So it asked me, what type of logical management group do you want to put it in? I'll just keep it in my default private cloud one. And now I get to specify the unique settings for this. So remember, even though it's got this initial IP address, we still want to then go customize it, make sure that it fits in the right group, right logical set of resources. So I'm going to go specify a computer name here, a MAC address, and then I can go add an IP address as well. And so it's going to confirm the settings. I can click Finish. And then this server will now be deployed. It's going to go speak to my local Pixie server, pull down an image. It's going to install the Windows Server operating system on it. It's going to enable the Hyper-V role. And then I can start using this as a Hyper-V host. So kind of a streamlined way that we're trying to get our customers to deploy our products. Now moving on to infrastructure monitoring. So infrastructure monitoring, our main goals are having support for diverse infrastructures, managing different types of clouds, and making sure that our workloads are running well. So as we look at monitoring the diverse infrastructure, Operations Manager has this concept of a management pack. And a management pack is basically a collection of different metrics that it wants to analyze and find useful. So you can have management packs for pretty much anything there is. All of the major OEMs have management packs for their hardware. There's management packs for VMware, for Citrix, for different hypervisors. Management packs for all the operating systems, including Linux. Management packs for different applications and Windows Server roles. So you can have a SQL management pack, an Exchange management pack, a Hyper-V one, a cluster one. And then management packs for the actual applications themselves, whether it's a .NET app, Java app, Ruby on Rails, PHP. So we really are trying to be broad and diverse. And you can even write your own custom management pack. So if you have a line of business application, you want to monitor it, build a management pack, specify particular performance monitors or events or different alerts you want to look for, you can write that and it will integrate into Operations Manager, send the information up. But we can also manage things across different clouds as well. So you can manage, of course, your private cloud. But if you deploy your app to a third-party hoster, we can still monitor it over there, make sure it's healthy. And of course, up in Windows Azure. But we even support other clouds as well. We have a management pack for Amazon Web Services. So if you have apps running in AWS, we can still monitor them, understand them, using Operations Manager. And then as far as the workload configuration goes, our focus again is not just on availability, but on performance. And so if you saw the keynote presentation yesterday, I kind of showed you that performance breakdown where we can go line by line of code. That's kind of the depth that we can really get to with Operations Manager. So as we look at our comprehensive monitoring, we're really trying to go across these different clouds. Monitor on-premise to off-premise, and even monitor off-premise to on-premise. So also from the keynote yesterday, you saw me use the global service monitoring feature. That was basically doing monitoring from different Azure data centers of your own website, your own test infrastructure. So we really are trying to get this end-to-end monitoring, taking advantage of whatever resources we have. Now I'm actually going to go switch over to my next demo and show you monitoring of VMware. Now, when we monitor VMware, we actually do work with one of our partners, Veeam. Veeam's basically a company that works very well with Microsoft, platinum partner with Microsoft, platinum partner with VMware. And they kind of find some integrated solutions across these two different companies. Now, their management pack, it is something that you have to pay for. They do not offer it for free. But I will give them the credit that it's probably the best management pack I've ever seen. Gives you incredible insight and depth into your VMware environment. And even if you don't have VMware, this is just kind of an example of what type of information a different management pack can give you. So here's the VM management pack. We'll let this load. And we'll take a look at the active alerts first. Now, this gives you depth across everything. So active alerts about networks, about hosts, about VMs, and then warnings, some things where there might be a time delay or a best practices not being followed. It also builds up topologies of your data center. So if you notice that a particular service has a problem, we can actually open up that service into the different parts and really kind of drill down into isolate where the problem is. So there's a vCenter problem. There's a problem in this data center. So let's go and expand it and try to figure out where that is. Let me just zoom out a little here. Can expand this data center. Take a look at the different sets of services, different servers in the data center. I see there's a problem over with this server. We can expand this. I see that there's a problem with this particular NIC. Can expand this, and it's VM NIC 1. So you can kind of get this depth by just drilling down and figuring out something's not working, open everything up, and really, you know, try to visualize where the exact problem is. And it has it also builds up network topologies and storage topologies, and it does all of this through self-discovery. So it's going to use SMASH, IPMI, SNMP, kind of the industry standard storage and networking protocols to go and recursively figure out what is this server connected to, what is that connected to, what is that connected to kind of build up this mapping by itself. So let's go down and let's take a look at our clusters as well. See if we have any alerts there. So, you know, you can see this very rich management pack, and if you have a VMware environment with Operations Manager, definitely encourage you to kind of check this out. And you're going to notice across all the different System Center products, we really have great integration with VMware now. Virtual Machine Manager allows you to manage your ESXi hosts, provision VMs to them, provision services to them. Orchestrator has integration packs allowing you to automate with VMware. So you can get information about a VMware alert, go do a vMotion, go do DRS and reload balance all of these different applications. So even if you've got a VMware environment, you can still use System Center as a single management solution across these different fabrics. Now I just need to quickly get my next demo set up here. Can only run one of these live at a time. And we'll let that run in the background. All right, so application management. Our next theme, what were the major goals we had with application management? So first of all, we wanted to make sure that applications met their service level agreements, or SLA. And so we're really trying to get better insight into the app. How well does it work? Where are the bottlenecks? Are there different bottlenecks based on people's browsers, based on their geography, based on their location? So we're really trying to get this better insight. And this is going to be able to give us information that we can hand over to our developers just to speed up the life cycle. We call this concept DevOps, developer operations, bringing these two teams closer together. We also want to have best-in-class management for our Microsoft workloads as well. So really better integration across our own products as well as our third-party products. And so we often talk about this disconnect we have between development, end user, and operations. You know, if you've been there and you've heard something like, hey, the application is performing slow, whose fault is that? Well, the developer says, hey, you put it on a bad server, or the network's flooded. Operations says, no, you wrote bad code. It's slow, it's inefficient. But it's tough to really figure out who's right. And so we're trying to go ahead and help solve that problem for you by providing this insight into the applications. So as we go take a look at our dev insight for our .NET applications, we could see just nice visualizations, what's working, what's not working. We could go and build up these dependencies. We can monitor based on performance, figuring out how long pages take to load, how long for the first byte, how long for the document object model, how long for HTML, how long for CSS, how long for Java JEE. We can isolate the root cause by going through the actual code line by line, figuring out the stack trace, figuring out where it hit that performance bottleneck. And then we can go and immediately assign it to our developers. And based on their binary, you know, so within Team Foundation Studio, developers are mapped to binaries. Based on which binary the problem is in, it will automatically go assign this bug to the developer and include all of these repro steps as well. So our goal here is just to kind of speed up this end-to-end diagnostics. Now, with the 2012 R2 release, we added support for Java applications, so we could get the same kind of depth and insight for Java JEE. Here's a more detailed list of the different platforms that are supported. And now I want to talk about how we can go and monitor those apps from the cloud as well. This is using our global service monitoring feature. This is where we can go and view from a high level, monitor from these different data centers around the world. So to give you some more detail on how global service monitoring works, first you go and sign up for the program. And based on your licensing agreement, you're going to have the ability to monitor. By default, everybody gets a couple. Depending on your agreement, you might get 10 apps, 50 apps, 100 apps, an unlimited number of apps. But there basically is some kind of limitation on how many websites or apps you can monitor. Now, you have developers that use Visual Studio. And Visual Studio has this concept of what are called web tests. And basically, a web test is a test that's built by the developer that will actually go through a website and perform real actions, such as launch this page, right-click here, click properties, sign in with this username, this user account, and actually provide a series of executable steps. We could take this custom test that your developer built, upload it into Azure, distribute it around these 16 data centers, and go and test your own application from these 16 data centers using your own tests. You get to specify the performance bottleneck, so if it takes over a second to respond, flag that. And then we report all the information back into Operations Manager. So a great way, if you have a development team that's only in one location, to really understand how your application's performing from all around the world. And so this is what we hope to use to really help overcome this DevOps disconnect, get this deeper insight into our applications. And this is hopefully going to free up your time as IT infrastructure guys. You're going to spend less time troubleshooting and arguing with developers, just more time keeping the infrastructure healthy. I'm going to skip that quote here. So let's actually take a look at how we can do some of our application management in more depth here. So we're going to launch our Virtual Machine Manager, and we're going to go through this concept of service templates. Now, a service template is a collection of virtual machines. So what we realized was that most customers, most business users, they no longer have just single virtual machines that run their line of business application. They have collections of virtual machines. And so we really wanted to be able to manage these collections of virtual machines as single units. And so what you're going to find here as we go and build this service template is we are defining these multiple tiers for this single application. Now, the way we build these templates is we can break them down into very, very small parts. So the smallest parts being what goes inside the guest operating system. What's the host piece of it? So how many, what's the physical piece of that VM? What's the virtualized hardware piece of that VM? How many virtual networks? What type of virtual storage is it connecting to? And so we can go build these little pieces together, create a VM, and then we go build up these collections of VMs together and build what we call a service template. Now, you know what? This has taken a few minutes to start, so I'm actually going to go back to the presentation, and then we'll double up on our demos with this next round. So next I'm going to move on and talk about automation and self-service. So our big goals here with automation and self-service. Better empowering our end users while still maintaining control. So with self-service, we're basically giving our end users the ability to go and say, I want to do X or Y or Z, saying I want to provision something, I want to deploy something. And as the infrastructure specialist, that can be kind of risky. because you don't know where they're going to go deploy that VM. You don't know what resources they're going to consume. And so whenever we think about self-service, being able to have control over what the end user can do is extremely important. So we've fully integrated with Active Directory, and based on the individual user's type of account or their organizational unit, we can actually assign very, very detailed privileges to them. So if this person's part of the engineering team, maybe they have access to 10 different templates, but maybe they can only deploy on 3 different hosts or in 1 data center. And maybe they have options to only start a VM and stop a VM, but they don't have the ability to go and do checkpoints or snapshots because we don't want them taking up too much disk space. So this is kind of the balance that we need to have with self-service. We want to empower our users, let them be successful, but also make sure that they do not do anything bad, which impacts other users. Next thing we wanted to focus on is using the common set of tools, regardless of which type of infrastructure we're running. So you're going to see Orchestrator have great integration, just like Operations Manager. Orchestrator has a concept of integration packs, kind of similar to a management pack with Operations Manager. An integration pack is a collection of different actions for a particular component. So there's an integration pack for Virtual Machine Manager, for VMware, for Windows Azure. And then we have integration packs for lots of other third-party solutions as well. So if you're using third-party management systems like Helpdesk or BMC Remedy, if you're using power management systems like Dell Drac or HP ILO, we're really trying to work with all of these major enterprise customers so that we can do integration across the board. One of my favorite examples that I got from one of our Dell customers, they actually use Operations Manager to monitor the individual spinning fans on their servers. When one of them stops or has a problem, it gets reported in the BMC. Operations Manager sees that, creates an alert, and then it uses Orchestrator to automatically go and order a new replacement. So very, very cool that you can do almost anything with tying these different pieces together. And finally, we wanted to better be able to support service level agreements. So we built things such as chargeback capabilities inside Service Manager. So if you have different customers, and a customer, again, could be a business unit or an individual, you could charge them at the end of a month based on what they're using. But honestly, most of our users don't actually charge them. They, instead of doing chargeback, they like to do what is showback. And it's rather than saying, hey, you owe me this much money, it's showing them, this is how much you are costing us. And this can help drive better business processes, better business practices. You know, if you find out the human resources department's using up 30% of your IT budget, whereas engineering's only using 20%, that might be something where you can show human resources, hey, we got to do better practices here. You guys are costing us too much. Look at how you compare. So as we look at our standard application building, application provisioning, this is the same concept of the service template, where we can build up different application tiers. So you may have a database tier that has your SQL server, application tier with your business processing, web tier that has your front-end website. This is this collection of different VMs that we manage as a single logical unit. But now, what we also want to do as part of this is be able to go and use these different tiers across our different products as well. So you could go and deploy these different tiers, these different services, these different applications with App Controller, with Windows Azure Pack, with Virtual Machine Manager, with Orchestrator. So we're still, again, trying to build consistency across these different products. So here's an example of Windows Azure Pack, this new self-service portal that's the Azure-like technology running on-premise. So as an admin, you go and push what we call images to the gallery. An image is basically a virtual machine that could be pre-configured. So if you have lots of developers, you may want a virtual machine that's pre-configured with Visual Studio. This way, when you get a new developer, you just give them a new VM. Everything's running for them. So they don't need to spend days or hours installing Visual Studio, figuring out how to connect it to their corporate environment, do Team Foundation service. We're basically offering them that menu, and they get to pick from the menu exactly what they need. Then they get to specify unique information for that image, so they know what's going to be installed, but they still may want to size it. The amount of memory, amount of storage it has, virtual networks, being able to kind of customize it. And then at the end of the day, They'll be able to see how many resources they're using. So each of the individual users gets this showback information, and they could see across all of my different VMs, across all my different applications, these are how many resources I'm using, and this is how much it's costing our company. So we hope that across these three different technologies, we're able to drive best practices. Now back to this unified view, unified management across our different clouds. This is what we're trying to really achieve with App Controller. Go deploy things, go monitor them, go visualize them, no matter where they're running. So I'm going to go hopefully back to my original demo and then show you our second demo, where we go and deploy something to a third-party hosted cloud. All right, Virtual Machine Manager is now up and running. So first, we're going to go take a look at our service templates, these collections of virtual machines. So I'm going to go down to my library. And down in my library, we have what are called these profiles. And these profiles are those smallest individual units that we can go use. So let's first take a look at our guest operating system profile. We go take a look at this, and it will kind of tell us how this operating system is going to be pre-configured every time we run this application. So as I take a look at the guest OS profile, you'll notice that this is pretty similar to some of this information that you can get within Hyper-V, some of these settings. So here, though, we get to specify what operating system it's going to use. You can see a lot of choices. We get to specify how it's going to be named. So with a hashtag, we're going to go and start incrementing it 01, 02, 03. If you use an asterisk, it will be a wildcard character, give you a random number or a random character. So this means every iteration that this virtual machine is deployed is still going to make sure it's unique and named as such. We get to provide some admin information, time zones. But here's one of the more interesting ones, because we can pre-install different Windows features and Windows roles. So what this means is when the virtual machine first starts, all of these features and roles are pre-configured for them. So if you've gone through the process of deploying, and then you join a domain, and then you add users, and then you install the Hyper-V role, and then you have to reboot again, that could kind of be painful. It takes up a lot of cycles, a lot of time. We could do this all up front without this additional work, this additional step. You then can answer stuff about what domain you're going to join, enter information for that. And then finally, you can have run once commands or answer files. So if you want to go and customize it, or go add additional information, or have a script that goes and adds your own custom applications, we can still do that as well. So first time it boots, it'll run a PowerShell script or whatever type of script and do that additional configuration for you. Now, the next type of profile that we look at here is going to be our hardware profile. And this defines our virtual hardware for this particular application. So our hardware profile, it's going to kind of define the exterior structure of this VM. It's going to tell us where it can run, provide information about the processors, the memory, dynamic memory if you want, the different types of drives and adapters, boot drives, SCSI drives, different NICs. Then you can also define it as saying, hey, this should be a highly available virtual machine, which means it needs to be deployed on a cluster. You could set the priority of this virtual machine. Set the priority of the CPU, so if there's lots of VMs on a single host, how important is this particular VM? Virtual NUMA, virtual memory. So again, all of this gets pre-configured before you even get your VM up and running. Now, we also added two other types of profiles. We have an application profile, and this allows you to actually install AppV packages. So if you have virtualized applications, we can preload them inside your virtual machine. So here's an example of a virtual application that I'm going to preload. You can also add SQL DAC packs. So a SQL DAC pack is basically a way that you could go and I guess it's pre-configuring the SQL settings, allowing different types of applications and services to connect with it. So you can go and add this as part of this application profile. Then finally, we have what we call a SQL Server profile as well. So if one of your virtual machines is going to be a SQL Server, we go and preload it with all this different server information. So we go and set the different service accounts, what they're going to run as, other configuration information, passwords, things like that. So once this VM gets deployed, it can start being used as a SQL server immediately. So across all those different things, we can build them together and we can create a VM. So when you deploy a VM, you get to add your hardware, your guest OS, your application profiles, and your SQL profiles, and you now get a VM. And you could, of course, mix and match, so for different options, different deployments. So here's a VM that we pre-created. It's using one of our templates. Here's the OS configuration, another template, application configuration, SQL Server configuration. So you see that we take these small pieces and create a VM. But now we want to go ahead and do a little more and actually create a service, which is our collection of virtual machines. So I'm going to say create a service template, create one of these multi-tiered applications. In this case, we could do one tier, two tier, three tier. Let's go with the two tier. Make this release 1.0. I'll call this Denmark tier. And now this will basically give us a graphical user interface that we could go and take our different VMs and plug them into the different tiers. So we have our first tier, our second tier. Over here we have a list of different virtual machine templates. Now in this case I only had one virtual machine template, so it's not going to be the most exciting because we'll put this into both tiers. But you can see as we drag and drop, it kind of preloads all of that information that we've collected. Now based on this, let me zoom out. We can go and configure our virtual networks as well. So here's our virtual network. We can see it's connected to this NIC and connected to this NIC. So we could do things from this such as building guest clusters, clusters made out of virtual machines. We could configure load balancing for these services. We could have multiple things running on each tier. So a lot of granularity as you go and build up these multiple tier, multiple application services. Now, the next demo I'm going to show you here is our app controller demo using Service Provider Foundation. So again, System Center App Controller, this is one of our self-service portals. This is the one that has that dependency on Virtual Machine Manager and allows us to do different types of infrastructure provisioning. So for this particular one, also, I forgot to mention, one other important benefit of this, it's web-based. And so what this means is your users don't need to install Virtual Machine Manager, the console, anything like that. They just need to open a browser, connect to a website. So this is really how we're trying to make it easy for our end users, browser-based. So here we'll just take a quick overview of what we have already configured here. Take a look at our clouds, and you can see that I actually have three different clouds configured. I have three different private clouds, three different Azure clouds, or Azure subscriptions, and then also a cloud with my hoster. This is my Service Provider Foundation, this third-party hoster. Now, the way that we work with these third-party hosters is they're basically running our virtual machines in their data center. Now, what we need to do is still make sure that we can understand how that virtual machine is functioning. We want to have control over it. We want to start it, stop it, monitor the health, monitor the availability, and basically manage it just as if it was running in our own data center. So the way we actually do this is we go and basically set up a connection from their data center to Virtual Machine Manager. They install an agent on their host. It connects to Virtual Machine Manager. And then it uses OData and REST protocol, which are two kind of our internet standard protocols, to go and send information. This virtual machine starting, stop the virtual machine. And so just using standard protocols, we're kind of communicating with that VM that's running in someone else's infrastructure. So let's actually take a look at what VMs I already have up and running. So as we kind of browse here, I have four VMs that are running on my private cloud, two VMs that are running with my hoster, and then four VMs that are, again, running up in Azure. Now next we're going to take a look at our services. Now remember, this is the same concept, this collection of virtual machines, what we just built. With our services, we can take a look at them. Here you can see I have a service that has two different tiers. VMs across each tier. And now we can easily go and deploy a new service. So let's say I'm a developer. I want to go and get this new VM up and running. I want to go and run it in this third-party hoster's location. What we're trying to do here is just make it a series of steps, a wizard, to get them up and running. They don't need to think about virtual networks, clusters, hosts, different data centers. They just give the information that they need. And this is what we're really trying to enable with self-service. Free up your time so you're no longer doing this. You're no longer on the phone, answering emails, creating this yourself. You can spend more time on other projects. So first thing we do here is say, where do you want to go deploy it? We're going to go deploy it in our Contoso cloud. That's the third-party cloud. Now, based on my user role here, I can deploy as many VMs as I want, as much memory as I want. Now, obviously, there are physical constraints actually in that data center, but you can limit each user by how many resources they can use. So I might only be limited to 5 virtual machines, but in this case, I'm good to go with more. We then specify a template. So in this case, I just have a Windows Server 2012 template. Then we get to specify unique information for it. So here's where we get to go and customize that VM. Make sure that I can uniquely manage it, have my correct usernames. And finally, we can click deploy. And now I have my virtual machine starting to be deployed over in this third-party data center. I see how it's running. I understand it. I can manage it just like it was running in my own data center. Now, final concept we're going to discuss here is IT service management. So this is really trying to work with our IT department's help desk, make things easier for them. Now, we're really focused on using System Center Service Manager as this kind of key component. And Service Manager, as I mentioned before, is based on the ITIL standards, IT Infrastructure Library. So what we really want to use this for is make it easy to use IT services. So going back to this concept of a menu, offering self-service, we want to be able to offer IT services as well, such as this wireless access point isn't working, this printer's not working. Rather than have people call you up, we want to be able to provide forms so people can just go submit this information through a website. You get a ticket in the help desk. You can choose where to assign it, or in some cases, you can automatically have it fixed. If this is an action you've seen several times before, once this request comes in, you can have it automatically fixed by associating it with one of these orchestrator runbooks. Next thing that we look at is integrating all of these different components across our data center. And so our System Center Service Manager has a Content Management Database, or CMDB. And basically what a CMDB does is it inventories absolutely everything that's in your data center. So different users, hardware, drivers, networking equipment, pretty much everything you may need. And then the VMs and services that run on them. But more importantly, it then also figures out how they're connected. So it's not just listing them, it's figuring out how they interact with each other. And so, for example, let's say you need to go and upgrade one of your routers. Well, you select the router, you say, what would this impact if I take this offline? It will figure out the computers that are connecting to it, the VMs that are running on it, the different services. So it helps you understand with your change management exactly what's going to be impacted by this decision. And then we also use Service Manager for our resource utilization and service level tracking. So this concept of chargeback and showback. So here's this content management database that goes and collects all our information across our database. Now, what this is going to walk through, the set of graphics, is actually show you the service manager, service catalog, this third self-service portal. And so basically, you get to be an end user, human resources, whoever it is, log onto a website once again, and based on your user role, you'll see a list of choices. Do you want to request additional cloud capacity? Request a VM, deploy a new service. You then get presented with a form. Fill out the form, click submit, and a ticket will get created inside our service manager. Now, as the IT guy, you get to go and review the request and approve it. Do you approve this step, reject this step? Maybe they're asking for too much capacity or too many virtual machines. You still have that control to say whether you want to do it or not. Then you go and perform the action. Ideally, have it automated. And so what you see here is an example of System Center Orchestrator. This runbook, where you take these different components, connect them, lay them out. And the final demo I'm going to show you is using all of these different components together: Operations Manager, Service Manager, and Orchestrator. So we'll do a quick walkthrough of how Orchestrator works then. And then based on those actions, the initial request, the service gets provisioned. So this is kind of this end-to-end view that we see with our service management as well. Now, a lot of customers are saying, you know, back to this chargeback concept, I want to know how my resources are being used by each team, by each individual user. These are the types of information that we provide on our price sheet. Information about the VMs, the cost to be a part of a cloud, virtual machine CPU, memory, and storage. So let's go over to our final demo here and see how we're really tying all these different pieces together. All right, so what you see here is System Center Service Manager. Again, this is our IT department's help desk tool. So you kind of, as you browse here, you kind of see the standard things such as libraries, action items, configuration items, reporting. But we're then going to go and open up Orchestrator as well. And Operations Manager. And finally, I'm going to go and load a website. Now, what I'm going to do with this website, my Dinner Now website, is I'm going to purposely crash it. What we're going to see here is Operations Manager is going to detect the outage. It's going to detect the crash. It's then going to go create a ticket, an incident, in Service Manager. Service Manager is going to review the incident, and it's going to go and trigger a way to automatically fix it. Now, this website crashes all the time. I know that when I troubleshoot it, I go through a KB article, a knowledge base article, try step one, then step two, then step three, then step four. This is a great example of something that can be automated. If it's this series of steps, regular process, we're going to try to build automation. Now, hopefully what's going to happen here is we go kick off this workflow. It will try these different troubleshooting steps. And by the end of the demo, website will be fixed, back online and running. So here's my error. So I'm going to run with PowerShell, crash my website. And what I actually do here is crash the IIS server. So website's unavailable. What happens now? Well, let's go into Operations Manager. And hopefully, as I take a look at my active alerts, we have web application, Dinner Now website is unavailable. So this is good because this means that our website has crashed, but we've detected it. So we have this alert in Operations Manager. Now, whenever I see this alert, we're going to go create a ticket in Service Manager. Now, even if I'm automatically fixing this problem every time, it's still good to create this ticket so that when I do reporting at the end of the month, I can kind of see how often this incident's happened, how frequently it's happened. So let's go down to our work items in Service Manager. And you can see, again, this is all kind of standard ITIL stuff, service change, release change, problem change, incident change. And I will go take a look at all of my open incidents and go and filter for my dinner application. Here it is. So we had the crash. We saw the alert. We've created a ticket. So let's go take a look at what we can really tie together with this ticket now. So here's the information that we get about the ticket. We see who it affects, how it was generated. We see categorization, the source, so we see this came from Operations Manager, impact urgency. And so this is kind of stuff that I would pre-configure and say every time I see this particular alert from Operations Manager, this is how it's going to be categorized. But now if we take a look at the activities here, we can see that we can tie a auto remediation activity. And this is basically saying, when I see this, go try this. Go try this runbook. So now we're going to go over to Orchestrator, our workflow engine. And we're going to take a look at this workflow we have here. Pretty simple, pretty basic workflow you're going to see. So what this does is it says get the incident. And so this is basically saying, once you receive this from Service Manager, start processing it. And it's going to include parameters such as what's the name of the server that's affected so that we can actually go and you know, address that particular server. So we receive these parameters as inputs. Now, first thing we're going to do is actually go and test our website. Make sure that it really has crashed. You know, there could have been maybe a temporary network problem. We don't want to, you know, try to fix something based on a false alert. And here we have a conditional statement that we've built in. So if the website is working, we're just going to say, mark this incident as resolved, close it, IT department never sees it. But they're still going to have an inventory of it at the end of the month. But let's say this doesn't solve the problem. There really is a problem. Well, as I go through my regular troubleshooting steps, step one is restarting this IIS server. If that, we'll then test the website again. If it works, we'll say it's resolved. If not, we're going to go on to troubleshooting step number two. This is slightly more impact, so we want to kind of try these serially so that we minimize the total amount of problems. Test the website again. Now, if it's working, we're going to say it's resolved. If it's still not working based on these standard troubleshooting steps, then we're going to go and engage our IT department. We're going to go escalate it to tier 2 support and actually have somebody go and try to figure out really what's happening with this. So let's go back and refresh. And we can see that this activity has gone away. So this means that for whatever reason, the ticket's being closed. Hopefully this implies that one of those troubleshooting techniques I used actually went and fixed the problem. We'll go back to Operations Manager and hope that that alert has moved as well. Looks like our Dinner Now alert has also been closed. All right, so finally, we're going to go to our website, hit refresh, and our website's back online. So what you saw here was this end-to-end solution tying together all these different System Center products. Now, when you think about how you can use these together, don't just think of it for problem solving. Think of it for anything, maybe even onboarding, right? When you have new people come to the company, maybe today you get an email from Human Resources and you're doing copy and paste from this email into Active Directory. Why not create a form? Have your IT department go to the website themselves and the IT department can enter first name, last name, office location. Click submit. We automate everything and they're already added to Active Directory. So this is what we're trying to encourage our customers to think of with System Center. Not just focused on the single product, but focusing on how we can go and tie these together to really take advantage of these different private cloud solutions. So as I wrap it up, here's kind of a summary of the key features that are specific just to 2012 R2. Now some of them I haven't talked about yet, so I'm going to just discuss them real quickly. So dynamic VHDX resize. This gives us the ability to actually resize a fixed size disk on a virtual machine. You could both shrink it and grow it. Dynamic memory resize, we covered that. Cluster upgrades, we covered. ODX support, so ODX is offload data transfer. This allows us to directly copy files between two SANs without having to pass them through an intermediary server. So you get faster deployment, faster copying, faster upgrades. We talked about service templates, being able to use Virtual Machine Manager to deploy the other System Center components. We talked about individual usage and metering. We briefly talked about fiber channel connectivity for virtual machines so they can connect to fiber channel storage. We covered runbook deployment for System Center components, storage spaces support from Windows Server, file level backup from Linux. With infrastructure monitoring, we've added native SNMP support and monitoring for IPv6. Previously, we only had IPv4. VMM integration, System Center Advisor. This is the free online System Center service, systemcenteradvisor.com. Gives you the proactive monitoring. And this is what can now integrate into Operations Manager, something that we demoed in the keynote as well. And then System Center with Windows Azure Pack. For automation, we have a new integration pack for SharePoint. Talked about Service Manager connecting to those third-party hosters using REST APIs. And there's also new System Center integration packs. For IT Service Manager, you can now run it on SharePoint 2013. Previously, it only worked on SharePoint 2010. Then Application Management, System Center Advisor, Java Application Monitoring, and Microsoft Monitoring Agent. Microsoft Monitoring Agent, we've just kind of improved our agents that we use just so we get better insight, better reporting, better health. Whew. So as I wrap that up, I hope I kind of covered a lot in that past 75 minutes there. So hopefully that was enough to get you excited, even though we didn't go into a particular amount of depth on any of those topics. Really, we do think System Center is the broadest management solution. It now comes with a single purchase, a single acquisition. You get System Center 2012 R2, you get all of these products, all of these capabilities, no longer having to go out, purchase things individually. If you want to go learn more, we do encourage you to try out the Eval Center. The System Center and Windows Server previews are available. Check out the Microsoft Virtual Academy for free online training. www.microsoftvirtualacademy.com. This includes courses across all the System Center products, the capabilities, Windows Azure, Windows Server, virtualization, high availability, and all of these courses are free. We have about 1.3 million users already on this. It's only about a year old. Check out certifications, and you can actually do a lot of these demos that I just did online yourself. So the actual the thing that I launched, that live the live demo where I had to reset it, that's available as a free lab online. So if you go to the TechNet vLabs, you can actually go and do everything yourself, covering all of these different capabilities. So hopefully you guys learned a lot from this session. Hopefully it encouraged you to think about new ways that you can run and operate your data center. So if you liked it, just, you know, take close note here. You could only give me fives. Everything ranges from five to five. So please complete an eval. Please make sure that you give me good scores so that I can come back here next year. Thank you.